You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A solo mother of two just won an 8.5-year battle against the Ministry of Social Development, who asked her to repay more than $100,000 of perceived benefit. The mother had contracted a loan from her mother as well as from a financial institution and made use of a credit card while receiving different forms of benefits between 2005 and 2010. The MSD decided these loans should be regarded as a source of income, therefore making this mother not eligible for the benefit. Yesterday, the High Court ruled that the MSD was wrong, that borrowed money did not constitute income, and its decision should have a high-reaching impact. I spoke with barrister Katrina McLennan, who has and still is working on similar cases, and asked if she was satisfied with this judgment.
The High Court decision is an excellent judgment, and I think it didn't really take a judge to tell us this. Any member of the public can figure out that a loan is not income because the main criterion of the loan is that you have to pay it back, so you're not actually ending up better off. So I think there's a number of concerns. First of all, that Ms. F had to go through 8 years of hell to prove this. And the second thing is that there was actually a High Court judgment in 1997, 21 years ago, which already ruled that loans were not income. Mm. So we all knew that, and the Ministry of Social Development knew that, and so they should never ever have taken this action against Ms. F.
So why do you think they did?
I think we've got a very harsh and punitive culture towards beneficiaries in Aotearoa, and I've been very pleased since the change of government to hear the Prime Minister and the Minister of Social Development saying that that's a really important change they want to make, is changing that culture. Mm. And so I think that MSD and perhaps the public as well has kind of often got a really negative view of beneficiaries and, you know, thinks that they're fraudsters, thinks they're trying to get more than they're entitled to.
Yeah.
And we've really got to completely get rid of that. We were so proud of our welfare system when we first introduced it in the 1930s, and we were, you know, a world leader, and we thought it was a good thing to support people when they were vulnerable and needed help, and that's the philosophy we need to get back to.
Yeah, so you think we've sort of drifted from that and gone into more of a punitive?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the media's got to reflect on its role, because it just, you know, really regularly does stories about beneficiaries being fraudsters and cheats. And it's really only probably in the past 5 years or so that we've started to get some media coverage about tax evasion and white collar crime, which, you know, that's billions of dollars. But, you know, we've never really had a very punitive or negative attitude towards that. It's kind of almost been thought of as a bit of a lark not to pay your taxes. But if a beneficiary steps out of line even a tiny bit, we come down on them like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, so there is an imbalance in treatment.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got a real double standard, and you can see that in the 2016 budget. The government said that it would write off up to $1.2 billion in child support penalties, but beneficiaries get pursued literally till the end of their lives to repay money, even if it's obvious they can't actually repay it.
Do you think even the criteria used by WINS and the MSD for allowing people to be on the benefit may be a bit too restrictive? Like, I always think about how if you live with a partner, I believe, then it's sort of assumed that your partner is going to be here to take care of you and should invest all of their money into your situation, and therefore you can't really qualify. It's maybe just two big categories and not enough sort of personalised looking after?
That's a really major issue, what you've raised, and it really negatively affects a large number of mums in this country. The test for when you can get a benefit when you've got children is actually really, really complicated, and you have to not be in a relationship in the nature of marriage. And so you can probably tell from that it's already sounding a bit complicated. And if you think about when you start a relationship, it's not, you know, one day you're not in a relationship, the next day you are, but that's kind of how our benefit law works. And exactly as you say, as soon as there's a hint of a relationship, MSD assumes that the new partner is going to support the mum and the kids. And, you know, that's just really quite dangerous for women and children, and it's not actually what happens.
Yeah.
So one way of getting around that would be if benefit entitlements were for individuals and you looked at the individual's need rather than trying to make a judgment on the partnership. And so that would be, I mean, I don't see any sign of a government being willing to do that at the moment, but I think that would really deal with the problem you've raised, which is actually a really major issue.
There's also, I think in this specific case, the case of Miss F, that it was the partner that maliciously sort of decided to make a complaint to the MSD. Should there be a little bit tighter of a control over those complaints that are being made?
I would like MSD to completely shut down that fraud tip line. In my work as a barrister, this is a really major issue, that disgruntled ex-partners ring up that tip line and dob in, nearly always woman. And it doesn't matter if the woman has done nothing wrong. It can still take years of her life to prove that she's done nothing wrong. And we've seen some cases earlier this year how quick MSD is to suspend benefits without doing proper investigation. So women can actually have their benefits suspended and end up with no income and plus be told they owe tens of thousands of dollars just because their malicious ex-partner has told a complete lie to MSD. And MSD seems to just take what's told to them through the tip line as valid and not really think about or investigate, well, what might be the motivation for this person contacting us. And I mean, I can think of another case that I had where the woman's ex-partner dobbed her in. And I mean, it was not even a case that was a bit grey. It was completely obvious that she was entitled to the benefit. But it took over 2 years to establish that, and we had to go through Benefits Review Committee and Social Security Appeal Authority. And the whole time, my client was actually convinced she was going to end up in jail. So, yeah, we really need to do something about that. We just shouldn't be letting people ring up and cause untold grief to mums maliciously.
And I suppose it's also a waste of time and energy and money and resources for the MSD as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it would be good to get some figures about how much they're spending on debt collection and pursuing beneficiaries, because I know some of the cases that they've spent years or decades pursuing beneficiaries and that have gone to the High Court, they've spent tens of thousands of dollars on them. And one case I wrote a report about called Catherine's Story, and they've spent about 16 or 17 years pursuing her. They've spent more than $100,000. They've got back $2,000 from her, and they'll never get any more. I mean, she should never have had a debt established in the first place, but even apart from that, she's now in her mid-50s and chronically ill and housebound. She's never, ever going to be able to work again. So, you know, she literally will never be able to repay it, and it's just wasting far more money to keep on pursuing her.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.